WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen's jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Hello and welcome to Inside Ben Davis Football. My name is Owen Poley alongside WBDG General Manager John Easter, high school sports expert Jeff Robinson, and coach of the Ben Davis Giants, Coach Simmons. Coach, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, though. How are you?
Good. Jeff, how are you doing?
Doing great. Glad to be back this season.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Missed the first episode, but back for episode two. And John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Owen. Looks like we're off to another good start with the show. So here we go.
Now let's get right into it. Coach, week one against the Brownsburg Bulldogs, unfortunately lost 21-16. Tell us a little bit about that game.
Yeah. I think when you go back and you look at it, the game had a lot of ebbs and flows to it. You know, we were able to score first and get on the board mid to late first quarter. Then we gave up 21 straight, and we were able to get a field goal at the end of the first half that really proved invaluable to us, because you know, made it a two possession game, and that was important going into halftime for us. We had a productive halftime. Came out in the second half and held them scoreless, and we were 24 yards away from finding a way to win the game. And so, you know, we got a lot of good individual efforts across the board. Wasn't the result that we expect in our program. Certainly wasn't the result that we wanted. But there's a lot to take away from it that was positive, and there's a lot to take away from it in areas that we need to focus and get better at in week two.
Coach, you mentioned that you were able to shut down Brownsburg's offense in second half there. Talk about things that went right for your defense, especially against the likes of a Jaden Whitaker and the running game that Brownsburg possesses.
Well, I think when you look at what we did in the second half defensively, I've had a lot of people ask me the last couple of days, like, what'd you guys talk? What'd you do at halftime? It wasn't anything magical at halftime. We had to play better. When you look at the first half, we had them in third and 20, gave up a 35-yard shot down the sideline, allowed them to get a first down, allowed them to get a little bit of a spark, get the ball on the plus side of the field. That drive ended in a score. We gave up a quarterback scramble on second and long. That drive ended up in a score. Gave them a short field. They throw a screen pass. You can't give them that much space as electric as those two receivers are. We gave them too much space. We missed three tackles on the play, and so their 21 points really came from having some sort of big play in that drive or directly leading to the touchdown. And so, you know, that was something we had to take care of at halftime. And it was as simple as making sure our guys understood the numbers. When you look at the end of the game and you hold Brownsburg to 2-something yards per carry, you're doing something right defensively. And, you know, when you look at who played well for us defensively, it started with Cameron Davenport up front. He's a big-bodied player who played three different spots up front for us and really had his best game as a Ben Davis Giant. That was really encouraging to see. Sorrell Curtis on the back end had a very solid game. He played a couple of different spots in our defensive lineup. And so when you get productivity in week one from those two senior captain type players, it's certainly something to hang your hat on moving forward.
On the offensive side of the ball, Coach, I thought your two young quarterbacks really came in and played well. What did you think of their play in the game?
Yeah, I thought both of them played well enough for us to win. You know, when you look at how Juju and Isaiah played, when you look at what Avon did or what Brownsburg did to us defensively, you know, they had a plan per quarterback. And so for us, it was trying to get those guys in the right situation based on their skill sets and based on what we thought what we thought they could execute and do. And then relative to how Brownsburg was lining up in defending each of those guys. And so I thought both of them played well enough to win. You know, we had four drops from our wide receiver core, and you can't have big drops in big games like that and expect to win. You know, it's a one possession game late, and you know, if one of those drops is converted to a touchdown earlier in the game, now we're trying to bleed clock and kick a game winning field goal, or at least the scoreboard's a little bit different at the end of the game, which you know, that has everything to do with us. And so, you know, we talked to our guys about being the most disciplined team and the toughest team mentally and physically, and you know, we fell a little bit short in those two areas on Friday, and you know, you have to give Brownsburg credit.
Yeah, so the big question coming towards the end of the game, that final play, Elijah Price runs it in for the touchdown that was eventually called back because of that hold. An unfortunate call for the Giants. And run me through what you were thinking in that moment.
Well, you know, when you get in that moment, you know, one of the common things to do when a flag's called is to get a number. You know, we got two different numbers on the play. And so, you know, it's hard to decipher, you know, where the holding call took place. But there are two different instances they could have been flagged on that play. And you really have to reset, you know, as quickly as possible. You know, in Indiana high school football, you have a 40-second play clock. It becomes a 25-second play clock when there's a clock stoppage in the instance of a penalty. And so, you know, for us, we had to try and refocus our guys. We had to get our guys back on the field because they didn't know the flag was down. Had to get our guys back on the field, had to get them refocused, and then you're looking at, you're looking at first and 20. And so, you know, you get in that situation, and really the hard part was trying to get refocused and get right back into trying to get that offensive rhythm, because, you know, we got rolling, you know, on the first play of that drive. We took the shot down to Marcus Reese and got us down there inside the 20. Felt good about where we were at. Wasn't even really concerned about managing the clock. We were just trying to score the football, and we felt comfortable putting our defense on the field with whatever amount of time was left. But you know, we just didn't circle the wagons well enough after that holding call to be able to be able to get any positive yards.
Coach, talk about how much Elijah Price has developed and what he's bringing to your offensive attack this season.
You know, when you look at what AP did on Friday, you know, we had four different guys take a snap for our offense, and it's probably been a long time since four different guys have taken a snap in a one possession game for Ben Davis at quarterback. But you know, we put a lot on AP's shoulders. If you spend any time around him at all, he's a really humble young man. He just shows up and works every day. He's not a real flashy guy. He doesn't walk around seeking attention from anybody. You wouldn't know he was in the room if you didn't know who he was. And you know, he's the opposite on the field. You know, he's the guy. He's got the loud cleats. You know, he can stop on a dime. He's got great acceleration burst. He's got great vision. He's got some toughness. And so, you know, he can do a lot of things, and probably the most notable difference between freshman AP and right now is just, you know, the body armor he put on in the offseason. You know, a year ago he was 14 years old, and he was a freshman starting the back half of the year from the Lawrence Central game through the tournament. And, you know, he physically looks different. He's got more burst. He's got more juice to him. And, you know, I think that showed on Friday night. He showed he's a big-time back in 6A, and, you know, thankfully for us, he's only a sophomore.
Coach, when you look at your defense, you talked about how well they played, only giving up 2 yards of play to a really good Brownsburg team. They're going to get another good test on Friday night that we'll talk about in the second half. But this is something, I don't want to say it's different for this the start of the year, but the last couple of years, I know the teams have struggled early on defensively and have kind of come together towards the end of the season. What's that like as a coach to have that kind of confidence that you can put your defense back out there no matter how much time's left and just go score the ball?
Yeah, I mean it's certainly different. But when you look at that defensive lineup that we're rolling out, you know, we 10 of the 11 guys that started for us on Friday night had started at least one varsity game. You know, we couldn't say the same offensively, and so, you know, we felt like coming into the year our strength was going to be in our defense, and you know, those guys held up on Friday. You know, certainly proud of the way they played, minus the explosives. But you know, the area that we got to continue to grow and get better, we can't pat ourselves on the back, because you know, we had way too many missed tackles on Friday, and you know, it's some of that's week one. It's a little bit different, you know, when you see the backs and wideouts that Brownsburg has. But we certainly have to tackle better, and we got to limit the amount of explosives we give up if we're going to continue to play a solid brand of defense.
So going back to the offense real quick, another big name, Destin Beecham, obviously had that ACL injury last year. How is he going to be implemented into the run game this season going forward?
You know, I think when you look at what Destin can do, you know, he's certainly a downhill physical runner. He showed that on Friday. You know, he averaged 5 yards a carry. He had limited carries on Friday, but he averaged 5 yards a carry. He's a diverse back in terms of what he can do in terms of catching the ball out of the backfield as well. And then, you know, he added value for us on special teams too. And so when you get a senior coming back, you know, who was a starter who did not start Friday, play the way Destin did and carry himself the way that he did, I think that speaks to his maturation and his willingness to add value to our football team in any way possible.
Coach, with the IHSA reorganizing the tournament in this year, you're now regrouped with Brownsburg in the sectional. Talk about your thoughts in terms of where you're probably going to see a Brownsburg more than once in one season, and just the differences in terms of playing a team the first time versus seeing that team possibly later in a tournament setting.
Yeah, you know, I think that's been a scenario that we've seen the last 3 years, really. And you know, not to discredit anybody else in our sectional, we've been in that situation. You know, we've seen Center Grove twice the last 3 years. We saw Brownsburg twice last year. We saw Carmel twice the year before. You know, we ended up seeing Zionsville in the regional in 2019, and that was a little different for us. But, you know, for us, it's, you know, when you look at our schedule, I think every week is so unique just because of the strength of schedule that you really can't. We don't look ahead. Like, from a coaching staff perspective, it's not like, well, let's save this or save that. Our expectation, you know, taking the field every Friday is to win the game. And so, you know, we're going to go do everything we can to win the game, and we'll circle the wagons and worry about the next time if and when that opportunity comes. You know, obviously we're going to pay attention to their scores throughout the year. But I think that's pretty standard for us, for, you know, regardless of who's in our sectional or who we're playing. You're always going to have an eye. You're always going to have an eye on the scoreboard and try and get a feel for who.
How much of a difference does it make having won or lost in the first meeting going into a second meeting maybe later in the season?
Yeah, I think so much of it depends on who I think a lot of it depends on the makeup of your football team, to be honest with you. And you know, I think when you look at this group, the group that we have right now, we have a group that's growing from a maturation standpoint. We have a group that has really good leadership, but they also have good focus. And so for us, you know, we know what's on the horizon. We know the other three teams in our sectional. We're actually going to see them here the first 3 weeks of the season. And so, you know, when we get to week four, we'll be able to shift gears and worry about the MEC conference. You know, we'll start with it with Pike in week three, but we'll also have a good idea of where our sectional's at. And then when we get later in the year and we get to the bye week, we'll be able to turn the film on and see where they've grown and where they've gotten better, and marry that up with where our strengths are and where we need to get better as well.
So having week one Brownsburg, obviously we talked about this in last week's episode, week one team is going to be different than a week 10 team. How do you think Brownsburg will shift? I mean, it's difficult to tell within 9 weeks right now, but how do you think they're going to shift into week 10?
Well, when you look at their lineup and you look at they're certainly going to grow and get better defensively. They had some young guys. They had some first-time starters on the defensive side of the ball. So those guys are going to continue to grow and get better because they're extremely well coached. And you look at them offensively, and you know, they're probably only going to get into more of a rhythm. You know, when you have that many veterans back and you get your first game action, you have a quarterback the caliber of Jaden Whitaker. You know, they got leadership, they got poise, and they got a lot of flight hours on that offense. And so they're only going to get more refined as the season goes.
And I think that's going to do it for our first half of Inside Benefits Football. So we're going to go to a quick break and then come back with our second half on Indy's Giant 9.9.
This conversation could save the life of a loved one.
Dad,
so sorry.
Come here. Are you okay?
No.
You've seemed pretty down lately. Have you been thinking about taking your life?
Today, teens are at increased risk for experiencing anxiety and depression, and finding mental health support has become even more challenging. Get help at mylifeisworthliving.org/help and check out our YouTube channel for the first animated series about teen mental health.
¿Qué hace que los trabajadores esenciales sean esenciales?
Mantenemos el lugar donde trabaja y vive limpio y seguro.
Cosechamos productos frescos para que sus familias coman.
Te ayudamos a curarte cuando estás enfermo.
Los trabajadores esenciales contribuyen al funcionamiento de nuestra nación. La división de horas y salarios asegura que usted reciba las protecciones fundamentales que merece. Visite nuestro sitio web o llame al 866-487-9243. Presentado por el Departamento del Trabajo.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football. My name is Owen Pulley, alongside Jeff Robinson and Coach Jason Simmons, to the second half of the show, talking about the upcoming game this Friday. Ben Davis takes on Avon at 7 p.m.
And once again, we'd like to thank Chuck Bear, Carpenter Realtors, for underwriting the show.
Yeah, thank you to Chuck Bear for everything he's done for this show and the community. So, Coach, coming into this second game, obviously 0-1. Going into this game, you have Mason Reynolds, who is a junior this year, had some good history against Avon last year. What are you coming into this game thinking?
Well, we're coming into this game thinking we saw the best offense in Central Indiana last week statistically. So when you run the data and you look at the offensive numbers they put up, they had the best offensive performance of any team in Central Indiana in 6A last week. And so, you know, I think that speaks to how explosive they are. You know, Mason's a known for us. We watched him last year put up 320 yards passing against us. And so when you look at him and you look, okay, he's not the same quarterback he was a year ago. You know, I think his release has gotten quicker. He can make any throw on the field. He knows and understands where he wants to go with the football pre-snap. He's got a high football IQ. He can throw the ball on the run, too, when he's looking to escape the pocket. He's a very talented Q that's been in a lot of big time games. He's been in rivalry games. He plays with a great deal of poise, which I think speaks to the level with which he's coached, but it also speaks to him. And one, he's got an extremely high arm talent. He's got a high football IQ, and he's as dangerous as any quarterback on our schedule.
Speaking of the way a player being coached, Mark Bless, the coach at Avon, has been notorious for having very good offensive attacks over the years. Talk about some of the challenges that brings to your defensive team.
You know, we haven't seen a lot of film of this year's team, obviously, because it's only week one. You know, we have one full game in the scrimmage. But looking at their offense right now, they're a balanced offense. They can run the football up front. Their offensive line is big and physical. They were running the football for 5-6 yards a carry. They were running it extremely well against Lawrence North early in the game till they got behind the scoreboard. And getting them behind the scoreboard, I think, is just as equally as dangerous, because now you're playing into the hands of Mason Reynolds and allowing him to get in a position to chuck the ball, and he'll pull the pin and chuck that grenade, you know, 50 yards in the air. And you got to be careful. He's got three weapons. You know, a year ago, he had Krishan McRae, who went to Kent State, who was electric. You know, he's a heck of a football player. He's a heck of a basketball player. You know, this year he's got three different guys on the perimeter that are high level wide receivers. And so, you know, they're a balanced offense. They want to run the football. They want to run inside zone and get behind that big physical offensive line. And they have a big tailback to do it. But you know, you have to be disciplined. You know, we talked about being the most disciplined team earlier, and that's certainly the case when you play these guys. Because if you get too nosy, if you're in the secondary and you get too nosy, that ball is going to go over the top of your head in a heartbeat.
Coach, they kind of sort of got in the same or similar situation that Ben Davis did in getting down early in the game and then had to make kind of a furious comeback that fell short. So what do you tell your team about the kind of discipline that's needed if you're able to get up in a situation, get a lead, that this team can come back?
Yeah, I think what we learned last year when we got a lead on these guys a year ago is that you certainly can't relax, because, you know, they can throw one over your head really quickly. You know, if you give up a long run and you get it tackled, it may not always change the scoreboard, but you give up a deep ball over your head, it's going to change the scoreboard. And so, you know, just being consistent and worrying about winning the next play. You know, so much of what we spent our offseason talking about to our players was just staying in the moment and taking care of what's next. And if we're willing to do that on Friday, then the scoreboard becomes irrelevant. You know, if we start worrying about how many points we're up and the results-based stuff, then that's where you get in trouble. You know, that's where you lose your focus and your discipline. And you know, you're giving one up over top of your head, you know, or you miss pass pro and we give up a blitzing linebacker run through. There's a lot of things here. We can talk just about their offense, but you look at their defense, they're active, and they're aggressive in the box. And so, you know, we certainly anticipate, you know, a lot of post snap movements and pressures, and you know, I think that's gonna challenge our offensive line on Friday too.
Obviously Friday night here at Ben Davis, and I didn't ask this first half. I should have asked this first half, so it's kind of out of order. You would expect that Friday night at Avon, you'll have a huge crowd and that it'll be a very big ticket on the west side. But here on Friday night against Brownsburg, I know maybe you wanted to address the crowd that was here that showed up for that game, because, you know, I was talking to some people and talking to myself, which I do often. But talking to myself, and that crowd, that was one of the biggest crowds that I can remember seeing in a Ben Davis football game, at least on the home side. So what were your thoughts about the crowd and the energy that the Purple Rain brought on Friday night?
You know, the one thing I didn't do Friday was I didn't take the crowd in, to be honest. And that, you're looking back on it, it was, you know, I really kicked myself, you know. When you look at what the student section Purple Rain did, that environment was rocking. You know, I didn't have to look to know we had a tremendous crowd. I noticed it when I watched the TV copy of the game off the ISC network, how big our crowd was. And it, you know, I think it speaks to the immense amount of pride that our students are taking in our building, which is awesome. It speaks to the administrative leadership that Mrs. Ernest is putting the effort she's putting into it. But there's been a commitment to making that more than a game. You know, our administration, our student section, our performing arts department really wants to make it an event, and that matters. It matters to our players. It matters to our program. And Friday night was great. I probably, if it wasn't the biggest crowd, it was certainly pretty close. In my 5 years of being the head coach here, one of the bigger crowds that I can remember. You know, after the game, standing on the field, you look up and there's trash at the top of the bleachers from the south side of the bleachers all the way to the north. And so that told me how big of a crowd we had Friday. And you know, we need those people to continue to show up. You know, and it's an easy drive. It's not an easy drive to Avon, but it's relatively short. If you know how to backdoor your way there and stay off of Rockville Road, it's an easy drive. But you know, we need those people to travel to Avon and continue to support and rally this group. It's a great group of kids that does things the right way and has an immense amount of pride in the building. And you know, the support that we had on Friday was certainly first class.
Now, heading into this Friday game, it's an away game, like you just said. It have the fans, you know, go past Rockville Road, make it to the Avon game. How big do you think having a big student section, making it almost feel like a home game at Avon, would be?
Well, I think it would be everything. You know, I think it's going to show our players, and it's going to show our players how much the student body's rallying around them. It's going to show our players in our community how important Ben Davis football is. You know, those of us in this room know it's important. Our community knows it's important, but you know, I think for 15, 16, 17, 18 year old young men to have that support openly, it just gives them an extra layer of juice and energy. And you know, we're certainly looking forward to that support traveling with us to Avon on Friday.
Coach, we really haven't addressed this question, but there's been reports that you may have a quarterback change starting with this contest. Can you elaborate on that situation?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously, you know, Thomas Gatkowski's name has been brought up a lot here in the last couple of weeks, but, you know, Thomas transferred a year ago from Brownsburg, and he's been in our program for a year now. You know, we're certainly excited about the potential he brings to our lineup. You know, he's going to play quarterback for us on Friday. At some point, you know, he's probably going to start for us. You know, we're working through it you know, in practice this week. But, you know, he's a tremendous leader. He's a tremendous worker. He's got arm talent. You know, he's been in our program for a year, and so he knows our system. You know, he's going to know his teammates, you know, well. And so, you know, we're excited about what he brings to the table. And you know, we'll see him play quarterback here this Friday.
What different dynamics will Thomas bring to your attack?
Well, he's got a lot of arm talent. You know, he's got a high level football IQ. He's a good athlete. So he has the ability. You know, he's been playing our scout team quarterback here for over a year. And so he's learned to avoid a rush and get out of the pocket for his own protection. And so he can throw the ball on the run. You know, he competes with his accuracy on a daily basis. We're certainly looking forward to what he brings to the table. We're excited to see him play in a game. You know, it's been over a year since he's taken any competitive snap. And so, you know, he just needs to come in and be a spoke on the wheel. He's ready to do that. I mean, you talk to him, he's a mature young man that is ready to just come in and do what we ask him to do from a coaching staff perspective. And then, you know, we'll jump in the game flow and see where it takes us.
As always, Coach, you have injuries that affect the team one week to another. How did you come out from last Friday night in the injury department?
For the most part, fairly well. You know, we did take on an injury defensively. You know, we're still waiting to see how that's going to play out, but for the most part, we got out of it in good shape. Our guys are in a good spot right now this week. You know, through the first 2 days of practice, we've had every available player that we could have out at practice getting reps, and so, you know, we're certainly headed in the right direction. We're due to get one back this week that was a starter before he got an ankle in practice. And so, you know, we're looking to add a little bit of depth on the offensive line this week. So that should help us if we get in a pinch. But for the most part, we came out okay.
Yeah, it's always big to have the injury department stay as minimal as possible and keeping guys as healthy as you can for the whole season. And you have guys that are younger on this team. And how do the upperclassmen kind of feed into these sophomores and juniors?
Well, I think when you go back to Friday and you look at the volume of guys that had their first varsity action, it was probably a bigger number than most people realize. You know, we started a sophomore at offensive tackle, and Kenny Gunya, who played extremely well, you know, for his first career start. We actually had three offensive linemen Friday start their first varsity game. And so when you can do that and you outgain a top five team in Brownsburg, you know, those guys obviously did something well. You know, Zion Graham got his first extensive varsity action in the backfield. Zane Skabinski and Nate Williams got their first extensive varsity action out at wide receiver. And so we broke in some young guys, you know, that obviously, you know, with the two sophomore quarterbacks that played for us. You know, we had a lot of guys get their first varsity action on Friday from an offensive perspective. And we had a handful of guys on defense get their first extensive action, too. And so that all goes back to what you were talking about, Owen, in terms of developing depth and building depth. Because, you know, when you play our schedule in the regular season throughout and then you look at what lies ahead in the tournament, you're going to need depth at some point to be able to weather the storm here.
So that's really going to do it for our episode today of Inside Ben Davis Football. Thank you to Coach Simmons. My name is Owen Pulley alongside John Easter and Jeff Robinson. One more time, Coach Simmons on the show. And that's going to do it for Inside Ben Davis Football.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.